Hello, everybody, and welcome to our updates on baseball.
From spring training, stats, best players and plays, and highlights.
We are going to keep you guys updated on the most recent news and updates.
Sit back and relax as we talk about baseball.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's podcast. Unfortunately, Chase, my partner, is not here today, so it'll just be me talking. For this week's podcast, we will have a lot of new topics to be talking about and some crazy, creepy, and weird things that have happened at baseball parks, games, and players. Now, let's get on to topic one.
Do you believe in ghosts? Well, Rogers Field in New York, sorry if I mispronounced that, has got a big myth on it. Now, let's get on some backstory of the field. Frontier Field is the home of Rochester Red Wings and had housed the team since 1997. The stadium doesn't bring a ton of history, with it having a broken ground in 1994 and opened in 1996. That said, in 2004, a story broke from Rochester Paranormal Group detailing a possible haunt in the building. 16 years later, Minor League Baseball published a story that took the rumor to a whole new level. So to continue our October with some spooktacular sports stories, here's the story of Frontier Field, first opened in 1996 after builders broke ground in 1994. The first team to call it home was a professional soccer team. The first baseball game at the stadium was in 1997. The Rochester Red Wings lost to the Strington Wilkes Berry Red Barons on April 11, 1997. Rochester's Paranormals J. Burkhart published a confirmation that evidence has been found and pictures had been taken that confirmed paranormal activity at Frontier Field. In an article published by MILB, which is linked above, they claim that buildings that exist on this site were knocked down in order to build Frontier Field. These buildings include an old school building, which notoriously have leftover energy when they're abandoned. The site also has an old paper mill, which was previously haunted by a former janitor. That being said, if you head to the Frontier Field and you see someone sweeping up the floors next to you, take a good look. You never know where they may have come from.
Now on to topic two after a word from our sponsors.
Do you love to watch sports and like to bet on your favorite teams?
Well, Bovada is a great betting app for your favorite sports, including baseball.
Bovada is a great betting site, but of course you have to be 18 or older to use it.
It's a cool way to make money and fun in a way.
Bovada charges a 4.9% fee for all card deposits.
Except your first one, which is free as a kind of perk.
I can only think of one other site aimed at Americans that charges a fee like that.
If you want to know how much they pay out, with regards to Bovada's payout times, accept Bitcoin withdrawals within minutes of them being processed.
If you choose to withdraw by check, accept your check within 10 days. The minimum withdrawal is $20. The maximum is $3,000 by check every day, 1 to 7 days, and $9,500 by Bitcoin every 1 to 3 days.
Now on to topic two. For topic two, we are going to be talking about some players and what happened to them after their baseball careers.
The first person we're going to be talking about is Jose Canseco.
Jose Canseco was one of the most famous, or shall we say infamous, athletes of the 1990s. The Cuban-American star hit over 450 home runs over his 17-year career and was a four-time silver slugger.
Of course, as the case of many power hitters from that era, Canseco's career is forever linked with steroid use. However, the transgression went beyond performance-enhancing drugs.
Canseco ratted out teammates in his books and allegedly blackmailed certain players like Magello or Ordonez so as to keep their names clear out of public scrutiny. Canseco was eventually, but not surprisingly, cited in the December 2007 Mitchell Report.
Both of his wives had cited him for domestic violence, including a 1997 arrest for assault on his second wife, Jessica, after which he was forced to serve 1 year of probation.
He attempted an ill-fated mixed martial arts career in the late 2000s, losing his only fight by first-round submission. I guess he finally got what he deserved.
For our second player, we are going to be doing Dwight Gooden.
Gooden was a phenomenon pitcher for the New York Mets. He won the NLCY Young Award and the Pitching Triple Crown in 1985 and helped the team win a World Championship in 1986.
I can't fault Gooden entirely for the poor decisions that derailed his career and tarnished his reputation. Drug addiction is a disease and addicts are unfairly stigmatized. However, Gooden's many run-ins with the law don't stem exclusively from his drug use. For instance, since 2001 retirement, his arrest record includes charges of DUI, driving with suspended license, misdemeanor battery, and engaging the welfare of a child.
To endanger a child, especially after repeated arrest, shows Gooden hadn't learned his lesson. He also served time in prison for violating his probation in 2006. While he struggles with sobriety may have indirectly resulted in these arrests, they also speak to his inability to learn from his mistakes.
For our last person, we have Denny McLain's. Denny McLain's pitching career was going strong in the late 1960s. The Detroit Tigers ace won back-to-back CY Young Awards in 1968 and 1969 and led to the all-in wins during both seasons.
He pitched a career 3.39 ERA and was the last pitcher to win at least 30 games in one season. His brilliance on the mound made McLain feel he could play by his own rules, and he often clashed with teammates and coaches because of it.
However, by 1970, Sports Illustrated revealed his stories about McLain's involvement in bookmaking and connections to organized crime. His legal troubles and injuries woes quickly deteriorated his career, and playing days were over at the age of 29.
McLain retired deeply in debt and turned to loan sharking to try and break even. He even smuggled a fugitive out of the country for $160,000. In 1996, he was arrested for stealing money from a pension fund and served prison time for embezzlement, money laundering, and mail fraud.
He spent 7 years in prison. That's kind of crazy.
Now on to topic three. For topic three, we are going to be talking about some of the best and young players under the age of 25.
For our first player, we have Dylan Carlson. Coming at 6'2 and 23 years old, he plays for the St. Louis Cardinals. Dylan Carlson signed a one-year $703,000 contract with the St. Louis Cardinals, including a $703,000 guarantee and an annual average salary of $703,000.
In 2022, Carlson will earn the base salary of the $703,000 while carrying the total salary of the $703,000 for the position that he plays as an outfielder.
For our second player, we have Wander Franco. Wander plays shortstop. He has a 0.279 batting average. Wander Franco and the Tampa Bay Rays have finalized a $182 million 11-year contract that includes a club option for the 2033 season.
The shortstop's deal, which could be worth up to $223 million if the club option is exercised and incentives are reached, was announced Saturday. He has been in the MLB for only 2 years.
For our last player, we are going to be talking about Trevor Rogers.
Trevor Rogers is an American professional baseball player. Pitcher for the Miami Marlins of the Major League Baseball. He made his MLB debut in 2020.
He makes a salary of $722,000. Trevor is a 6'5", 24-year-old and throws an average speed of 94 miles an hour. He's also a left-hander when it comes to pitching and batting.
Thank you guys for listening to this week's podcast. We hope you enjoyed the stuff that we prepared for this week.
Hopefully, we can do this again next school year because this is the last one before the school year ends.
So thank you guys for listening, and let us know in the comments what we should talk about next year.
See you guys next time.